Hey guys, this is episode 4 of Noodle Time. Welcome. We're not joining the Super League, just in case you're wondering. So, Tony, what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, I'm branching off, man. I'm going for the money.
Yeah, we're recording a week after the news of the Super League, since we conveniently recorded the news right before the Super League news hit last week. And it was a pretty hilarious experience in like the soccer world. But yeah, just a few housekeeping things to go through. We're now on Instagram. So if you spend a good chunk of your time on Instagram, we ask you to follow us. We're going to have some good content there. Obviously, all Dynamo Dash, Hexagons, Foxes, Diesel, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other thing I just wanted to bring up is that Fox in the Box number 10 is already out. So go to ko-fi.com/DynamicFoxtrot to get the review link, or just go to the review link and in your email inbox if you're already subscribed. So read up on that. And yeah, without out of the way, let's go ahead and get into the negative stuff of last week. Was watching the Dynamo game at Portland. Portland being offensively one of the not the best team, but rather one of the good teams offensively in the league. Portland has been like one of those teams that are pretty interesting to watch, especially around a playoff, since they tend to make it there. Now, like sometimes for sure, depending on how their season goes, especially with Savarez in. And yeah, like in this game, when Dynamo came in, we were hoping to get at least a point, but eventually they lost 2-1 towards the within almost like the next 15 minutes of before the game ended. And it was pretty disappointing towards the end. The Dynamo did play very well, in my opinion, for a certain times during the game. I felt that the Dynamo had like a pretty good chunk of the momentum, especially right after the first goal, and especially like towards the end of the first half. I feel like they had a good chance to score another goal past that own goal forced by Tyler Pasher. There's like a lot to talk about, especially with a center Boniek situation.
we're giving that goal to Boniek. That's it.
Yeah, like it was pretty weird, since Boniek seemed lost for that game, and just coming off a pretty solid performance against San Jose, and yeah, like there's a good chance he's not coming back as a starter, starting in the back line for this week against LAFC, since we got Figueroa and Fuenmayor coming in. Even though Figueroa, there's a good chance he may be starting over Fuenmayor. But yeah, it was pretty weird initially, since MLS credited the goal to Boniek, but then it was counted as an own goal by the start of the second half.
It went off. It was an own goal for sure, but we're giving that one to Boniek in the books, bro. We gotta send him off nice. That might be his last chance at a goal in his career. Who knows?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'd like to say it's an alternative fact by MLS to say that it was an own goal, but. Well, yeah, I'm joking. It from the replay, obviously, it looks like it was an own goal, but obviously, as the Dynamo Sims we are, it's got to be a Boniek goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was an away game. It was a Dynamo away game, as we all know.
On turf, yeah.
How that is, but I mean, it was promising. It was kind of disheartening that we didn't at least bring a point home, because I think we could have at least deserved that. Nobody would have been mad at that, you know, but like we said, Tyler Pasher was really the star of this game for the Dynamo. He took Bravo to town, put him in his back pocket. He was doing everything. And I mean, I really love how him and Fafa switch wings kind of often and kind of just wreak havoc like that. But his left foot, bro, as Brad Davis reincarnated, the Canadian Brad Davis.
Absolutely. Pasher, he was probably like the only highlight of the game for Dynamo, if not one of the fewest. And yeah, like he just had a hell of a game. Even after forcing that own goal, basically he was everywhere.
Honestly,
he couldn't just stop like running inside the box. And he could have like a couple of assists if either Rudy or I believe it was Pico finisher opportunities, but I feel like they're getting there. They just have to like gel more often with Pasher, both being like pretty important pieces to finish off those scoring opportunities. And yeah, like I just was pretty disappointed overall, since Pasher was giving them a lot of opportunities to score, but they weren't just finishing the ball really. And it was just a disappointing performance overall, especially defensively. So there's a good chance there's going to be a ton of changes in the starting 11 for LAFC. Obviously one of the best teams in the league offensively. And oh well, we'll see. see how it goes. I'm pretty worried about that, but we'll go ahead and preview that game after we review the Dash game for sure. But do you want to mention anything else about the game, Tony?
I mean, it wasn't the most disappointing performance versus Portland. We've certainly seen much worse away from home. And I specifically, the two goals that we gave up, I think are really big learning points, because I really think those are like two goals that Tab can very specifically go back to the video, to the locker room, and they can really work on it. The first goal, right away in the first half, you know, Portland came out on the press searching for blood, and I mean, they got it. They had a kind of 2v1, 1v1 situation on the wing, and Adam Lundqvist really shouldn't have ever gone 1v1 with Bonilla, I think, was the guy that sent it in the fullback sent in the cross. He should have just contained them and not stabbed in at all, but he got sucked into the 1v1. Bonilla just went down the wing and really, I mean, obviously it was a good cross because he scored, but it wasn't anything like out of the ordinary. And I just kept watching that goal over and over. And Bonilla, I guess Bonilla got sucked in behind Adam because he thought he was going to get beat, so he had to be there. But that ended up having Bonilla in no man's land. Tim Parker was matched up with Yimi Chara, who he kind of didn't go in as hard as he could have, and the cross just kind of dribbled on through, and then Zarek had kind of two men on the back line, but Esprit was the one that ended up getting the first touch goal. So that's an easy one, I feel like, for Tab to coach his way out of in the future. And then the second goal, that was an example of a pause in our high press, because it's a never-ending game, and if we give up the high press for 1 minute, that's when we get punished, because Bill Twiloma, I think was it, just had a ball coming out the back line for Portland, and he just plays a long ball. I think Felipe Mora, who had just gotten subbed in, wins the header over, I don't know if it was Parker or Boniek, and there was Paredes, who just put it into the back of the net. So that wasn't really Marich's fault. It was more kind of a fault of the system, in my opinion. So I think it's promising. The one thing I'm a little bit worried about last thing there was that our subs aren't making too big of an impact. It's like Christian Ramirez doesn't really fit into an impact sub role, in my opinion. Ariel Lassiter, I mean, let's keep giving the guy some time, but I don't know. I think Dynamo fans might keep getting a little bit frustrated with him this season. And then I'm just confused about Darwin, because I saw a lot of comments. He was dangerous. He came in at the 10, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I saw, you know, you see him walking around again. You see him, like, he doesn't fit into this team, man. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to see Darwin leave this team mid-season or something, because for me, it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely a good chance there. And I agree with your points, especially around the substitutes. I expect them to, like, make an impact around the scoreline, but I didn't see much in that specific game. And obviously, things can change over time. Obviously, they could be getting adjusted into, like, a real game scenario. But obviously, like,
it's hard.
It's pretty hard, especially for us, since we've been, like, going through the last 6-7 seasons. It's been kind of like this. And Dynamo fans are rightfully frustrated about it. So we'll see how it goes from here. The Tab mentioned the press conference that they were expecting a result in this game, and they almost got it, but unfortunately, like, past the second goal, like, it didn't seem like they weren't
even before the second goal, Portland seemed like they were going to put three or four more past us. They honestly had the chances there at the end.
For sure.
So we can't let games get out of our hands like that. So, especially against LAFC, we were going to see Villa and Rossi probably come back. So, no excuses anymore.
Yeah. And we'll go ahead and preview those games right after we go to a Dash game. And on a brighter note. On a better note, the Dash did beat Kansas City and WSL 3-1 yesterday. Like I did, I hated the fact that it was a Monday game since I was at work while they were playing, and they just brought a smile to my face because they won a game, unlike the Dynamo. And yeah, the difference with this Dash team from like the past two games in the Challenge Cup was that all six starters that were missing due to international break did come back from quarantine, and all six starters played that game. As a matter of fact, they started, and they made a pretty big difference because Mewis did score the brace, and then Daly scored the third goal. Like obviously, like two of the Dash's like biggest offensive pieces. Like you just see this team, and they're like polar opposites compared to the first two games, and
yeah.
It's just pretty disappointing that they were eliminated from the Challenge Cup championship game, since Portland already has more points than the Dash will ever get. And yeah, like I was just bummed to just see them like play this well, only to be eliminated from the championship for essentially their the title defense. And
I mean,
oh well, it is what it is.
Only letting one goal in three games, that's really impressive. And it's depressing, man, because if we would have had our full squad since the beginning, I seriously think this team is going in over Portland. Like, man, that the first goal by Mewis was honestly so impressive. She got the ball under pressure. And honestly, I don't know if she's left-footed or right-footed, but regardless, she's kind of going in with her right foot dribbling and then just kind of out of nowhere gets a shot off with her left. And I mean, she 100% meant it into the bottom corner. That wasn't luck, so.
Oh, no, yeah, that was pure skill.
We needed that.
Like, Mewis, she's in a huge run of form right now. Obviously, she's been with the national team, and I really hope she makes the Olympics, but the bad thing being that the Olympics are pretty much guaranteeing us to... We won't be with the stars essentially during the Olympics, so that's gonna be a bad thing. But she very well deserves a spot in the national team heading to Olympics, and her obviously Daly coming back, it's a big deal too. She's being like one, like the team's a poster figure, poster child. Just coming into this game, she was extremely threatening, and obviously with all the stars coming back from international break. Before, like the result speaks for itself, essentially. And like you said, this is like the first goal they concede in the year, and just coming back from like a really like two shutouts, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about letting in that one goal. Is just kind of an isolated breakaway, and Jane Campbell can't do anything there. Although she almost got the save off, but. I was really impressed with Nichelle Prince. Like, she's so dangerous on the press and on the counter as well. She forced a turnover there, and she should have had a goal herself, but she took a really long touch on one of those counters, and it just didn't end up happening. But she makes things happen is the big point there. You know, kind of, I feel like she was the Tyler Pasher of the Dash, or Pasher was the Nichelle Prince of the Dynamo, man. It was just really... a good change of pace, you know. And by the way, sorry if you guys can hear my cats in the background, they're going nuts.
His cats are gonna make an appearance in the show at some point, so yeah, look forward to it.
But I mean, what's next for the Dash, you think, from here? Like, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, like, the most important thing is for the starters to keep playing. Obviously, this being the difference in the yesterday's result, but obviously they can always build up to it. There's gonna be games this year that they're gonna miss the starters, with the Olympics international duty, and so the Dash have like one of the most important pieces for each team, especially for the U.S. and Canada and England. And I just hope they just keep building momentum. And with the first two results, obviously not being wins, but at the same time being solid defensive performances, I just hope they can build something from that heading to a really busy season ahead of us. And luckily enough, while we were recording this right now, NWSL decides to announce the 2021 regular season schedule for the Dash, which is great. And it's going to be a better podcast when we discuss it, the schedule, but we won't get it. Yeah, we won't get into it right now. They just like announced NWSL just posted the release, and yeah.
How many games though? How long is the season?
Yeah, we won't get a lot of details in, like, since I have to read the schedule and everything, but I believe is 24 games. Yeah. So it looks like it's going to be 24 games for the Dash, but we'll go into details later. But yeah, yeah, it's going to be, I wouldn't want it to be like a 1 hour episode.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, the Dash just have the regular season to look forward to at this point, since we can't make the final anymore. But honestly, I think it's funny not to get silverware again, but I think they're in the conversation, and I think everybody knows that the Dash, if they had their full team, would be challenging for this cup. But that's the thing about NWSL, that you have to do it when you don't have your starters, because everybody's always suffering with this international duty and losing all their players. So it's really on James Clarkson and the rest of the staff to bolster the team, because we're going to keep having these absences, and the results that matter the most are the ones where when they're gone. And how we are able to rack up wins.
Oh yeah, we'll have a proper review, a preview for the Dash season before the first game of the regular season after the Challenge Cup. Since we haven't done one for them already, like we've only done one for Dynamo, which was the second episode, and we'll have a proper one for the Dash too. So we have that, looking forward to it, and we'll. We'll see. Yeah, pretty much what you said. We'll see. We'll go through the roster again and all the games coming in. And I feel like the Dash have a pretty good shot at getting a true championship.
Yeah. We don't want the fake one anymore. We want the real one.
Yeah, we want the real one. The big girl one.
Oh, and before moving on to the upcoming games, just want to give another quick shout out to the Dash, who won. What was it? Sports Team of the Year in Houston, or Sports Moment of the Year?
Yeah, Sports Moment of the Year for 2020. It obviously was the best moment. it was the best moment in Houston, in the Houston sports scene that year. I don't know what else could have been said. Like the Rockets tanking, or the Texans being completely booty cheeks. But yeah,
I mean. There was that one guy on Twitter, I think like Brian McTaggart.
Oh yeah,
U of H should have won, and nah, bro, they didn't lift the trophy at the end of the day, so we got to give some respect to who deserves it.
Yeah, okay,
no hate to U of H though.
We won't get into it, but yeah, respect to U of H. Brian needs to
down.
Go to bed, take a nap, and think about his take, because it's pretty bad. But yeah, we'll leave it at that. But yeah, let's go ahead and preview the upcoming games for the Dynamo and Dash. The Dynamo are facing LAFC on national TV on Saturday. It's going to be a really tough game for the Dynamo, I believe. It's going to be a game that they have to bring in their defensive A game, because they're going to get pressed like hell.
I mean, and they're offensive, bro. We got LAFC's got Murillo and Segura, center back, one probably the best center back pairing in the league. Outside backs, they got last week they were rolling with Palacios and that guy they got from Portland, Farfan. I mean, they have everything. They got Blackman out with injury right now. They have their new Korean right back, Kim Moon-hwan, who hasn't debuted yet. They really have everything under the sun to choose from in the defense compared to us.
Yeah, coming in, I'm really worried about Tuesta because I feel like he can do like some pretty damaging stuff in the midfield. Yeah, but
this game is gonna be a midfield battle because LAFC have Latif Blessing, Ginella, Mark Anthony Kay, Tuesta, and then this game really depends the most on if Vela and Rossi come back because they've been injured. But from what I've heard, Vela's supposed to be back at least for this weekend, and no word on Rossi yet. But let's hope they don't come back yet because LAFC were rolling with Corey Baird, Opoku, and Cifuentes up top. Cifuentes was a midfielder. He's been playing like kind of a weird striker role. So, Danny, USL legend Danny Musovski, still been injured, so... At least if they play with that lineup that they played against Seattle, we could have a chance. But come on, let's be realistic here and not get our hopes up so we don't cry.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it is essentially, especially with the Dynamo and being a Dynamo fan, a Dynamo Simps like we are.
What changes does that make this game? What do you think is coming out?
I feel they're definitely gonna be defensive. I feel like he's going to stick to his guns up front. And, Figueroa, there's a good chance that Figueroa is going to start over Boniek and Fuenmayor in the back. Hopefully, the lineup graphic is not showing a three-player back line like they've been doing for, the past two games. But jokes aside, the changes are going to be mostly defensive, I feel like. Like there could be some changes in the midfield,
I think there will be, bro. I think my take for this week is that Derek Jones and Vera are gonna start this game. Who knows who's gonna start next to that, but I think it might be Jones and Vera versus LAFC because this is gonna be a midfield battle. And it's not gonna be one that we're gonna win. They have the better quality up front, so I think it's gonna be kind of about the mitigating the risk, as they say in finance class.
We'll hold our breath for Saturday, and I'll pray every second of every day until Saturday to see what happens on national TV. And with that, we're gonna go ahead and switch to the Dash game. They're fortunately gonna play on Sunday, which is a weekend, not a Monday. Please don't play on Monday again so I can watch the game. And yeah, they're going to play none other than the Portland Thorns on Sunday at home also. The Thorns, one of the best teams in the league. They won all three of their four games of the NWSL championship schedule. They're going to go to the championship game after this one since they already have more points than the entire Western table. And just heading into this one, I feel like it's going to be like a midfield, also another midfield battle, essentially, since if the Dash cannot contain either Lindsey Horan or Crystal Dawn, it's going to be a pretty intense game for the Dash to come forward with, obviously with Portland being one of the best teams. And I feel like the Dash can take care of business still, but they just have to be pretty careful going to this one.
This is the Dash's final, bro, so I think they're going to take it.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to... Yeah. If they win this game in our heads, the Dash are the champions of the conference at least, because they're not gonna, if they beat the Torrents, then they were unbeaten against everybody else. So that's the rules. I don't write them.
Oh yeah, like a pretty good result here is gonna be pretty positive for their morale heading to the regular season. I just hope like for this one, I feel like it can be. Like, I was thinking about, like, Shea Groom and how she can deal with this one along with the midfield. I feel like it's going to be a pretty good game. It could be better than the LAFC game for Dynamo. I'm looking forward to it, honestly.
Nah, bro, I think Dynamo are going to... They're going to pull a result. I'm feeling it against LAFC.
Yeah. This one... I feel like the...
Quote me on this. Y'all put in your bets... Fafa Pico with a brace against LAFC. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah, bro. If you're right, I'm building a statue.
Okay, let's calm down there. If you're right, if you're right, you gotta buy me some salada.
Oh yeah, so oh yeah, yeah. I'll save them. I'll bid you the statue if we win Support a Shield.
Yeah. But I guess before we finish off the podcast, two Dynamo rumors that are not substantial at all, really, but that were in the Twitter sphere this week was originally reported from Dynamo Insider, I believe, with no source listed, so kind of sus. But you know, just putting it out there, he was saying that Uli Yanez, US U20 winger, currently with Wolfsburg, but on loan to Herneveen in the Eredivisie. He's a left winger usually. Apparently there's some interest from the Dynamo. Question mark. We reached out to Lester Gretsch, you know, Dynamo Tier 1 source on Twitter, and he said he is a player the Dynamo are quote unquote interested in, but no official talks have taken place. But he put ... yet. So we're gonna take that and run with it. That's Yuli Yanez is gonna be our savior. But hopefully that would be honestly, winger is not the first position I think of right now of a player that we need, but with Tab's connection with Yuli from the US U20s, the World Cup and everything, it's something you would expect for Tab to bring in. It's kind of just one of those opportunities that if it presents itself, then you take him. Because honestly, I mean, we don't have the most amazing wingers in the world right now, but they're pretty decent. So I'm all in for Yanez to come in. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. He's been having a really tough time with injuries and with just getting his big break into the Bundesliga, into the Eredivisie. And then he got booted out of the Olympic camp. So it'd be interesting to have him come in, pressure Fafa, pressure Tyler, and I mean, what best case scenario, he wins a starting spot and it goes from there. So there's really, you really can't go wrong there if it's a loan. And then second one, in an interview with Jorge Clara from Deportes Total USA, Tab Ramos was asked about Gold Cup absences this summer with Minor Figueroa and Darwin Serén and et cetera. And Jorge asked him how he's going to deal with it. And Tab said, you know, they're already actually having in mind signing another center back. He feels like it's a position that they already need another center back in general. So that could be a big sign for maybe a center back coming in this summer. We'll see if it's domestic. We'll see if it's a foreign player, but just interesting rumors to keep in mind.
Yeah. I have a gigantic grain of salt right now regarding Lanes. Like, I feel like Salcedo is more likely to happen than Lanes, unless the Lanes rumors turns out to be like a loan, since it might
I think that would be it, right?
Yeah, since it might be a piece that the Dynamo could need for the season. But yeah, we'll see what happens with this one. I feel like they need more defensive reinforcements right now. They shouldn't focus more on forwards, since we have 300 forwards right now. And yeah, like, I feel like it's a piece they shouldn't be worrying about. Unless they get it for the right price, that is. And yeah, with that said, do you have anything else to add for the Super League contenders, Tony?
Sorry, my feed froze there at the end, so I didn't hear what you said. But regardless, I think we covered all the rumors, we covered all the previews, but now I'm all good. Just you know, sit down at night and pray to Dynamo Diesel. Pray to Lord Cam Weaver, and everything will be good.
Let's just hope LAFC gets consumed by the Super League, and that way we can win on Saturday.
Well, we'll see you guys next week, and we appreciate you guys listening in again. Just like Andres said, follow us on Instagram so you can see his family comment on all our pictures.
Absolutely.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter for hot takes, and let us know if we suck. Please.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Yeah, my family's probably listening right now, so yeah. thank you guys all for taking your time for listening to episode 4. Look out for episode 5 coming in next week, and of course, stay noodle.